Well, internationally, Italy has overtaken China as the country with the most COVID-19 deaths, with the country's death toll passing 3,400. As the virus engulfs Europe, attention is now turning to Asian countries that have so far succeeded in minimising the impact of the pandemic. Among the most successful has been Taiwan, which has had just one death and 108 confirmed cases, despite its proximity to mainland China. What makes it particularly interesting is that it has a similar sized population to Australia, albeit on a very different sized landmass. Dr. Jason Wang is director of the Policy for Center for Policy Outcomes and Prevention at Stanford University in California. He's led a study into Taiwan's response to COVID-19. He joins me now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Hamish.
What has Taiwan done to get it right?
So Taiwan had prepared for the epidemic right after SARS in 2004 when they established the National Health Command Center. So the command center is a place where it integrates all the information from the local governments and the central government and has data analysts and a press room. So that way they could quickly gather all the information and respond quickly and decisively and then communicate with the public. So that's one of the things they did. The other thing that they did was that they integrated different data sets using big data. So they integrated the immigration and customs data set with the national health insurance data set. So they are able to identify when a doctor is seeing a patient who has been through one of the hotspots of the epidemic. So they could ask additional questions and do physical exam in a different way to protect themselves and then to order more tests for COVID-19. So this is a way to more proactively identify people at risk.
When you say they use big data, I read some mention of the use of artificial intelligence in that regard.
Initially, they did simple data integration and case identification. Right now, they're trying to use more machine learning and AI techniques, yes.
Now, you started collecting data on Taiwan in January when you first heard of the coronavirus outbreak. Why?
I traveled to Taiwan on a monthly basis to teach at a school called a new school for leadership in healthcare. And so I usually take guests from the United States and other parts of the world to teach at the new school. And so I had to make sure that they will be okay when they travel there with me. So I started to collect very detailed information on the number of cases and what the government was doing so that I would know if I should go in February.
So given that 800,000 of Taiwan's citizens reside and work in mainland China, there were very significant fears that Taiwan would really be one of the worst case scenarios when it came to COVID-19. They've implemented, as I understand it, 124 specific actions over a period of 5 weeks to stem the outbreak. I know you listed broadly what they've done, that they've got this central command center, but specifically, what have they done that's worked?
Yeah, so the one broad category is border control. So they took border control very seriously. As soon as the WHO think that there might be a new coronavirus coming, they started to board on airplanes that are coming from Wuhan to check for passenger symptoms before they would let them get off the airplane. And then they started to testing passengers. So that's one of the things about border control. And then they started to restrict people coming from Wuhan and also other parts of China when they discovered there were cases there. The second list of action items that they did was they took control of the stockpiles of the personal protective equipment. So these are the masks, the gowns, the shields that the doctors and healthcare workers need to take care of patients. So they did a quick count of those items and they said, well, we have 44 million masks in Taiwan and there's 23 million people. So there's less than 2 masks per person. So they stopped exporting masks outside of Taiwan and start making them. So then they organized the military to start making masks and get all the vendors to work with them so that the country now produces 10 million masks a day. That way, they could make sure that the frontline healthcare workers have protective equipment. The other thing is that they start to distribute the resources according to need. So now in Taiwan, if you could use your national health insurance card and you could pick up your mask in a local pharmacy. And if your ID card ends up in an odd number, you go on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. If it ends up in an even number, you go on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and Sunday, anybody could go. And now you could even order online, so you don't have to, you know, line up in a pharmacy. So they really took control of the capacity, the resources, and distribute them according to need. The schools are now in session. Kids go to school, and so they instituted a set of policies for school.
What are they doing in the schools? Because that's been a very big question here in Australia. We are keeping the schools open, but then we're not doing things like they're doing in Singapore, where they're testing the temperature of every child that turns up. What are you doing in Taiwan? What are they doing in Taiwan?
Mm-hmm. So they are testing the temperature. If you have a fever, you don't go to school. And for those that show up to school, usually kids in Taiwan stay in the same classroom all day, and the teachers from different subjects come to them. So they just stay in the same classroom all day. So that they made the policy, if one student in one class has, you know, contact to COVID-19, then the whole school will be suspended, just that class. Now, if two kids from a school, then the whole school will be basically suspended for 14 days. So they made this policy very early. The other thing that they did was, because this happened around the Lunar New Year's, so that they delayed the school opening by 10 days so that they could ramp up the production of the mask and give it to school children. And this is mostly to reassure the public.
Right.
The other thing is that they started to have a campaign on how to teach kids how to wash their hands properly, 20 seconds, singing two birthday songs, so that all the kids in school are now washing their hands, and the teacher, that's what they do the first thing in the morning, wipe their counter surfaces, wash their hands, and they wear masks.
Dr. Jason Wang, really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you very much.
No problem. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Dr. Jason Wang from Stanford.